I believe in my powers.
I believe in my powers.
I believe in the powers of my teammates.
I believe in the power of my teammates.
I trust in my powers.
I trust in my powers.
I trust in the powers of my teammates.
I trust in the powers of my teammates.
Somebody get this big walking carpet out of my way.
Look, okay, just get any blunt objects together, all right? Get cornered, bash them in the head. That seems to work out.
Now, what are we, a team? No. We're a chemical mixture that makes chaos.
Gentlemen, I'm Agent Carter. I supervise all operations for this division.
The needs of the many outweigh the needs of the few.
And
angels of love!
Welcome to the Skip Me Fanny Show. I'm Sean.
I'm Rachel.
I'm Mike. And this is Star Wars Rogue One, the second trailer. Hooray!
Yay! It seems very fitting that it came at like, the same time that Michael Phelps got his 22nd gold medal. Yay! Yay! No? Am I the only one that also is equally excited about that? All right, whatever.
In the same week that, in the same week as the week of Simone.
Ah, that's right. Yeah, because
Simone
she's had a very good week too. Yeah.
Well, two Simones.
Yes, the Queen's Simone.
Awesome. So we're here to talk about the trailer. So, I mean, we're just going to do it. You're just going to go?
Yeah.
All right, Mike, general thoughts, go quick.
So I was really blown away by this trailer because I was already totally sold on the film. I was not as worried as some people about the like, oh, they're doing research. Everything is ash and dust. It still looks like a war movie in a bigger war-ish fashion than the other ones. And that part is really cool. I'm super excited about a lot of the cast. Especially the Donnie Yen character, which we can get into more later.
Yes!
And I am two thumbs up.
Awesome. Rachel, go.
I was already a bit excited about this because, oh my god, Jen Erso and yay, and oh, the evil tube station that is the Death Star, apparently. But this trailer just gives me chills, and I'm so excited, and the characters look so badass, especially the woman that's ruining everything. Yay!
It's wonderful.
So
my general thoughts, this is going to sound strange, given that some of you may recall that we did another Star Wars episode, and after re-listening to that, I sounded like the angriest fanboy in the history of mankind.
The Grinch who stole Star Wars.
Yeah, but like if the Grinch were like about to commit homicide at any moment.
Has your heart grown 5 sizes?
For this movie, it's like 100 sizes. Like this movie is like geekgasm infinity.
Yes!
It's amazing. The second I saw the trailer and that first one where we saw with the AT-AT and like that first shot of it walking and coming in as they're all charging. Oh! Like, that chills. I had chills at that moment. I was like, this is my Star Wars movie. And then this one came out, and I wet myself, figuratively speaking, not literally, because that would be really weird if I actually wet myself. I don't really think there's anything I don't like about this trailer. Like, the only things that I guess you could say are, like, negatives or things where, like, I don't know what this is, and I hope they don't screw it up. That's basically all I got. So, I just love it. That's it. I just love this. So, yay. Also, it's another female protagonist, so thank God.
Yes!
Because now, as you know from all the angry people on the internet, every Star Wars character is going to be a woman. All of them. Luke Skywalker is going to be a woman. Han Solo is going to be a woman. Everyone's going to be a woman if you're listening to the people sad and upset on the internet. So
it means that this film has already aced the Furiosa test, which I found from some people talking about it, I think, on Facebook, which is a movie passes the Furiosa test if it pisses off man babies on the internet.
Beautiful.
Yes, and this one certainly fits the bill. So things we might want to talk about. Can we just talk about the character that I'm super stoked about, which is the Donnie Yen character?
Yes.
Yes.
So
I have the IMDb listing for that character names him Chirrut Imwe. Chirrut, second name Imwe, which it sounds both Star Warsy and more like maybe Southeast Asian. I'll apologize to folks who actually speak Southeast Asian languages, but yeah, like So he's blind, but he's got, like, major kung fu, but he's not the only Asian character, so it's not as bad, maybe?
Major kung fu and super force powers to go with it.
Yeah, so, like, what
do we think? Super force kung fu.
Is he Jedi, ex-Jedi? What up?
So, there is a Wikipedia page. Of course there is. And it doesn't really tell us much more than really what the trailers give us. Probably for an obvious reason. But all we know is that he is a Jedi of some sort, but we don't exactly know what it means. And my deep, deep desire as a giant Star Wars nerd boy is that he turns out to be whatever this new canon's version of the Order of Grey was in the old canon. Like their updated, reared version. Because that would be so freaking cool. And it would explain why he's still alive and hasn't yet been exterminated. So
yes,
because if you don't know anything about the Grey Jedi, they were the middle path. They sat in the middle between the dark and the light sides without succumbing to either, which in my personal opinion is the best Jedi order because they're the ones that aren't the genocidal maniacs like the other two.
Yeah, I'd never heard about the Grey Jedi stuff until Sean explained it to me in exhaustive detail, and then I thought that was the coolest thing I'd ever heard because the cosmology of the Jedi always kind of really annoyed me.
Yeah,
and then if you have the Grey Jedi, it's like, oh, now it suddenly makes sense.
Yeah.
You're both wrong.
Yeah, because when the Jedi are first set up in the original films, it seems more like it's derived from like a Taoist cosmology where you have the dark side is imbalance and the light side is balance, but over time it's very much become like light side is peacefulness and the growth of life, and dark side is like is death and entropy, so that the two of them together actually make balance in a lot of the setup, which then necessitates something like the Grey Jedi, which I don't think maybe was what Lucas was originally going for, and so it gets a little muddy in terms of cosmology and which philosophy or religion we're drawing on in terms of Earth analogs.
Yeah, and the whole point of the Grey Jedi was that they, unlike the Jedi who suppress their emotions, right, despite claims that they don't, but they do, come on. Obviously they do. The normal Jedi are like anti-attachment, right? You're allowed to have brotherly love, but you can't have any kind of deeper attachment than that because you're attached to the Force and controlling your emotions. The Grey Jedi don't do that. They use their emotions, they just don't use it like the Sith do. The Sith go the opposite direction. They get utterly absorbed by their rage and their hate and all the feeling and attachment. The Grey just find that middle. They're basically just humans with superpowers. That's just us, right? Like, that's it. That's great. They also have their own Yoda. His name's not Yoda. I can't remember what his name is, but he's whatever the Yoda species is, which nobody freaking knows what it is because nobody's answered that question. So I'm just saying. I'm just hoping. Also, it's Donnie Yen, so he's going to obviously do some like kick-ass like moves. He's going to kick a stormtrooper like in the face while flying over him and kicking another one in the like eyeball. And then poking another one with a stick, and then he'll flip and like do some wire work off a cliff. It'll be great.
Yeah, there's the other theory I've heard is that he might be an Order 66 survivor. So like he gets blinded and left for dead, but he's not dead, and he sets his lightsaber aside. But he clearly has some relationship to the Force. So he like he's Jedi or Jedha, or he maybe is like Maz, where the Force is a cultural thing. Because if he is on that planet. Which, at least in the new canon, they're like, all right, this is where the crystals come from for lightsabers. So that's what's up.
I don't actually know what Order 66 is.
It's the order Palpatine gives in the Revenge of the Sith, where basically
right, okay.
All the clones turn on their Jedis and start killing them all, and everyone's supposed to hunt down the Jedi. Which, by the way, would also not take away the fact that he could be of the Grey Order, because also hunted down by Order 66 as well.
So that explains why I don't remember Order 66, because I did my best to sort of wipe those movies from my memory.
Yeah.
They were terrible.
Okay, so Forrest Whitaker's also in this.
In this trailer, I don't know if this is like supposed to be him later or him earlier, but like he's got a beard and like his hair is longer and more like salt and peppery.
Yeah.
So I don't know if they did reshoots for this to make him look more like an extremist, because the character Saw Gerrera was originally in Clone Wars, and kind of in the lore, he's kind of the extremist edge of the rebellion.
But does he have an accent? Am I hearing that correctly?
It's some kind of something. It might just be space Europe accent.
Space, I mean, that's British. Fine.
Yeah, I just when he says the lines in this trailer, he sounds very much like he has a very strong accent of something, right? And other characters do have accents in this movie. I don't know who the character is, but like Donnie Yen's friend, the guy who's like they took our home for us, and then he just like freaking like and like kills a bunch of stormtroopers, which is awesome. He's obviously like there's a heavy Asian influence coming in from that angle, which we've known from The Force Awakens, because they had that character in the background who clearly had an accent. It was from some Asian influence of some description.
Yeah, the Contra Club group.
Yep. Yeah. So there's something here which is like I don't know what it is that whoever's running like the Star Wars thing, like there's like a guy who just sits in the back and they're like, we're gonna do this story, and he goes, yeah, but like, could you make it diverse? And then they go, oh my god, yes, we should definitely do that. And then they do it. Like, that's whoever person is, that person deserves a Nobel Prize because it's amazing.
Yeah, I will note that I'm super excited about the fact that it's not all white people. I'm a little, and I'm super excited that the lead character is female. But I will note that it looks like about the only way we can actually have this movie pass the Bechdel-Wallace test is if Jin and Mon Mothma sit down and have like a 30-second conversation about something, because they're basically the only two women in the movie.
Well, they're gonna have a conversation about Death Star and like how it's like an evil thing.
Yeah, I was looking very closely at that kind of here's our group shot toward the end of this trailer. Like, please tell me that the reshoots included one of the other people in the strike team being a woman. So none of those other characters present as female. It seems unlikely that any of them identify as, because that would be, holy crap, that would be amazing to have some non-binary characters or some characters where that kind of presentation versus identification is not as clear, because that's super rare.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's fair. Yeah, I mean, they're doing such a good job in so many ways with these Star Wars movies. It's the one thing that I loved about The Force Awakens, despite all my opinions on it. And it's something I love here, is there is diversity, and it's not in the way where it's like, you know, in Empire Strikes Back, it's like, well, I guess maybe we should introduce a black guy, but let's make him also, like, untrustworthy, right? This is like, no, like, half our heroes are going to be people of color or women or, like, you know, not traditional stereotypical American hero blonde dude.
Yeah, right? It's just, where are the women of color, for goodness sake? Because we have
Diego Luna is here, and I believe he's going to be playing, like, I guess what eventually becomes her secondhand man.
Yeah.
So, her Chewbacca, basically.
Yeah, because the IMDb calls him Captain Cassian Andor.
Oh, come on, that's such a sexy name. It is, Cassian Andor, that's so sexy, come on. You know he just goes into a bar and, like, there's just whispers. All right. I'm not suggesting what whispers, where they're coming from. They could be men or dudes or like alien. Doesn't matter. He just gets whispers.
Cassian. And I just Andor. I'm not sure if I should be making like Endor jokes or like right. Andor jokes.
Andor.
Right, or the.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Yeah. Okay. Anyway. I just watched Donnie Yen just beat a bunch of stormtroopers with a stick. It's wonderful. So. Yeah.
And we also have an Alan Tudyk playing a droid.
Yes.
K2SO, who the extra bit of digging around I found says that K2SO is a repurposed, reprogrammed Imperial Enforcer droid. I'm getting all of the HK-47 vibes.
Oh my god.
Oh, interesting. Yeah, because it obviously is.
I desperately need him to call someone a meatbag.
Oh my god, that would be amazing. And you know Alan Tudyk would do it in a heartbeat if they let him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's like right up his alley.
That character's also really interesting, because here's this droid working with the Rebellion, but he has Imperial insignia on his shoulder. And it's sort of like, that immediately raises my little curiosity bubble, and I'm just like, what happened? How did he get here? Right? Did they just reprogram him like a Terminator?
Yeah.
Right? Is he John Connor? Is Cassian John Connor?
Right.
Are we crossing the streams? Is that what's happening here?
Is this what's happening here? Is this like the new Trek films where it's like somebody goes back in time and it's a diverging timeline and that's why there's more diversity?
Yeah, like someone went back in time and like, I don't know, like slapped Luke Skywalker and was like, dude, like it can't all be white blonde haired dudes. And he's like, you know, you're right. Got to change it up a bit. And then I don't know how that exactly works because this movie sets before that. But just go with it.
Yeah. and let's also take a moment to consider the glorious return of James Earl Jones as the voice of Darth Vader.
Yep.
I know we get the little glimpse at the end and it's like, again, everything in this trailer, like, and what's great about this trailer is it doesn't feel like it's just fan service. Like where they're just like, mm-hmm. haha, we're going to throw this thing in there. Ha 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 ha. Right. It's these things you could tell they're important and integral to the story. With the exception of Darth Vader, he may not be. He may just be a background figure. Right. But it's kind of, that's maybe the only element here that feels fan servicey, but everything else just feels amazing. Like the AT-AT taking this rocket launcher shot to the face.
Yes.
That's amazing. Yes. Right. Just this, that image, like they're on this like beach place, like these like island magic places where everyone's supposed to be on the beach and sipping Mai Tais. But no, AT-ATs are just come to F up their shit. And it's amazing. Like all of these shots are great. Oh my God.
How about Jyn Erso going towards the TIE fighter with only a blaster?
Right. And she's like, what? It's mine now.
So yeah. She's limping. But yes. The TIE levels at the place where it would have, like, it could easily have gotten to a firing solution, but doesn't open fire. And it seemed like the cockpit was, like, open or part of the glass had been shattered, which makes me wonder if that's actually her ride.
Yeah.
I was kind of wondering that, too. I was like, either something extremely badass is about to happen or something extremely badass is about to
like,
happen.
Is this the Riz Ahmed character, Bodhi Rook, who's the pilot, I think? Like, is that him with a stolen TIE fighter or something? Or is she going to take on a TIE fighter with a blaster pistol?
Would that not be badass?
She just shoots
through the cockpit and hits him? Oh,
yeah.
And then she jumps off the top and is like, as the TIE fighter's falling, and like gets in the cockpit and like gets in, kicks his dead body out, and is like, fine now.
Grand Theft Empire. Cool.
Oh my God.
Yeah. That's what's going to happen now. Cause I think that they listened to the only nice things I had to say about The Force Awakens, because there's so many X-Wing shots in this that make me so happy. Cause that's like was my favorite shot in The Force Awakens is that cool X-Wing fight that's like 1 minute and they show that cockpit shot, which is just amazing.
Yeah.
And here it's just like X-Wings. I'm going to fly around pillars, right? The other ship flies through like lava or whatever. It's like amazing. It's so exciting. Ah. I'm like really exasperated. I'm like jumping in my seat. I'm just ridiculous right now. I'm sorry. Yeah.
The other thing I'm jazzed about for this is that it does seem to expand the tonal range of the Star Wars universe a bit.
Yes.
Because something that I think the MCU has done very effectively is make space, especially if we include the Netflix shows, where you can have brighter, more optimistic stuff, you can have funnier stuff, and you can have grittier stuff, but it all still feels like it's in the same world because life is not only ever one tone in the real world.
Sure.
So why should it be that same way a long time ago in a galaxy far, far away? Doing that successfully then means that there's also space to go to shift tones in a different direction so that we could have like the Star Wars equivalent of like the Squirrel Girl part of the universe. You know, making more space for things like Rebels, but maybe even something slightly younger or goofier so that it can be even more tone inclusive.
Yeah.
Yeah. And this definitely has a very gritty, like war movie feeling to it, which I'm so excited about.
Yeah, it feels a lot like Guns of Navarone or something.
It's basically going to be, you know, we'll see, but it could be like Star Wars version of Captain America: The Winter Soldier.
Right?
Yeah.
It's like shit is getting real.
I was immediately thinking of this film as having a closer tone to Empire than TFA did.
Yeah.
Is interesting because this film isn't in the sequel. I mean, it's not in the official sequence. It's an anthology story. It's like some other story. So it doesn't, I mean, it fits in the chronology, but it doesn't fit into the actual sequence themselves. So
Though, I mean, I am kind of wondering about them going and getting something to do with the Death Star, and none of them appear to be Bothans. So what's up with that?
Well, but that's specifically in relation to the second Death Star.
Right, to the second Death Star, because as Mon Mothma says, she says, many Bothans died as she's talking to the fish people. And then Akbar goes, it's a trap! And then, everything. Well, that's technically a little bit later, but whatever.
So they could easily build in something that, like, they haven't gotten access to the Bothan spy network, or they haven't made that kind of alliance yet. Because then they could have, like, a super spy Star Wars movie.
Right. my understanding was that the Bothans, their homeworld was originally under the Imperial arm. Like, they were controlled in the same way as when we were reading the books, Rachel, the Nogri were. Obviously, that's not canon anymore. But yeah, so the implication could be that by the point of this narrative, the Bothans aren't even in the game yet, because they're still controlled. And that maybe this movie's going to be successful, obviously. It's going to make like $1 billion. Maybe we'll get that story of how we got the Bothans involved, like how they liberated the Bothans from the Empire.
Yeah. Or the Bothans decide, they've had about enough of this. Because, I mean, the whole, like, Alderaan getting blown up is such a huge event in the Star Wars universe, because it scared the crap out of a lot of people and made a lot of other people be like, all right, this is where we're done. This has got to stop.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it means we could have Rogue Two as a spy movie.
Ooh.
That would be so cool.
Or so what do we think Rogue One actually means? Because it's probably not Rogue Squadron, because who is Rogue One there? In this group, if that's what it's supposed to mean.
We don't know. I mean, it could be that maybe she just becomes, because she's the leader of this group and they're the ones that uncover the Death Star plans, they just get that designation. That's their official designation. Because, the discovering the plans and destroying the Death Star is, the first major, massive victory for the Rebellion, right? I mean, before that, they're just getting their asses handed to them, and then all of a sudden they do that, and it's like kicking a bully in the face.
But I mean, Rogue Squadron is in the first Star Wars, isn't it?
I don't remember.
I'm not sure. If it is, it's not named in the movie, because they're all things like Red One, Red Five, stuff like that.
Okay, then that could be where they end up because. I'm trying to remember. It's always so hard to remember, do I know this from EU, or do I know this because it's actually in the original trilogy? I'm trying to remember where, if Rogue Squadron even really comes into the original trilogy.
Rogue Squadron comes in, that is I think Rogue Squadron eventually becomes the designation under which Wedge works. It's his squadron. Because he's Red 2 whatever.
Well, no, I know that, squadron. But is that actually in the movies, or is that in the EU?
It's not in the movies as I recall.
Wikipedia indicates that Squadron appears in Empire as Rogue Group.
Okay.
Okay, so it is. Okay, I don't remember that. Wow, okay.
I think Wedge checks in as Rogue something.
Yeah, Rogue Leader.
Rogue Leader during Empire, right. when they're picking up Han and Luke.
Yep.
Yes.
Now I remember now. Yeah, okay. It's introduced somehow, so this may be explaining where the whole Rogue Squadron idea comes from. This
could
be that
movie. Be true.
Yeah, the other thing I've heard as a theory, which I think is cool, is that Rogue One is the Rebel Alliance's MI6. It's the intelligence division.
Oh, that would also be super cool.
Which would explain some of this movie, because obviously her work is in intelligence. She's not, obviously she's blowing shit up too, but that's interesting. Oh man, this is gonna be great. Also, can we just say really grumpy narrow faced dude in the white? No idea who he is. He's he's a Grand Moff or something.
I think he's
Grand Admiral. He'd be Grand Admiral, I think.
Yeah, that one would think. I thought that he got a different label, but I'll have to.
Is he named in the IMDb?
I see a character. Actor is Jonathan Aris, named as Senator Jebel, but that may be a different guy.
No, I think I think probably the guy we're looking at is Ben Mendelsohn.
I think you're right.
Does it say his character name?
Because there's a still of him under his page that just shows him from behind, but he's wearing that white cape thing.
Yeah.
So that would make him...
Orson Krennic?
Yeah, director... Orson Credit, which anytime somebody is named director in a science fiction movie, that's just never a good thing. They're always an asshole.
Yeah, so I'm guessing he's like either the project director for
that's what it's saying
for the Death Star or something like that.
That's what it says. Yeah. Huh. I wonder if he's meant to be modeled after the Grand Admiral who originally was responsible for the Death Star.
So I mean, Grand Moff Tarkin?
No, because Tarkin like oversaw it, I think, but the guy like originally, I don't remember. I can't remember.
They just look like they probably like go out and have coffee all the time. And I also do just want to say before we kind of like start wrapping up is I'm really, really hoping we get to see more of Mon Mothma being like awesome and Mon Mothma.
It's the same actress that was her in the prequels. They brought her back, didn't they? Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, because she was so good. And I mean, obviously, if someone's going to be doing kind of like rebellion leader stuff, it's going to be all coming through her because we're not having Leia in this movie or anything.
Yeah. Right, because she's not involved. Well, she was involved. But she would have been in a different capacity.
She was still in the Senate at that point.
And right, because it's right after this movie, presumably right after this, is that this movie's not going to end happy, basically, because we know the Senate gets dissolved after this.
Yeah, so we may, I would expect a good chunk of the group to die. Jyn Erso may or may not make it out. She might get turned, because there's that shot of her in the, like, Imperial gear. And in the first trailer, you know, Forrest Whitaker character is like, what will you become to do this? And all that kind of stuff. So there's some doubt.
There's some cool stuff. All right. Well, we got to stop talking. It's even going on for a lot longer than we anticipated.
Because it's such a cool trailer.
It is very, very cool. So folks, you guys have any thoughts, you can send us emails. SkiffingFanty@gmail.com. You can tweet at us @SkiffingFanty. That's really the best way to get in contact. We'd love to hear what you think about the trailer. So, yeah.
Cool.
So thanks, Mike and Rachel, for joining me at the last possible minute.
You're welcome, citizen.
All right. And awkward ending and scene. Our intro and outro music comes from Nocturnia by Psychedelic Pedestrian. You can find out more about them on freemusicarchive.org, including the full version of the song. We obviously made some edits to the song, including sound effects and, of course, shortening the length. You can also support us by going to patreon.com/skiffyandfanty. If you'd like to send us a suggestion, you can do so at skiffyandfanty@gmail.com. You can also go to our website, skiffyandfanty.com, and check out the little suggested topic form at the top there. You can also just send us emails. You can also find us on Twitter @skiffyandfanty or on Facebook @The Skiffy and Fanty Show. Just search for us on there. Thanks for listening, and we hope to see you next time.